The Lord be with you today. It is good to have you listening in on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of the most holy week of the church year, Holy Week. A few announcements and things going on. We got the notice this week that Nevada Union is closed for the remainder of the school year. So with that note, the hangout will also be closed for the remainder of the school year. We're still waiting to hear on graduation and what that might mean and what it may look like. In our prayers, in addition to those for whom we have been praying, Ravia Moore, Jenny Mulhern, who are undergoing treatment for their cancers, Mary Bacigalupi as well, we pray for her recovering from a broken rib. Wanda Short, wife of Jeff Short, who's hospitalized with ovarian cysts, and because of the medical conditions and the shelter-in-place orders, she is there alone and cannot be visited by family. Also, we pray for Ashley, granddaughter of Mike and Barb Kish, who should be undergoing treatment for her MS, but because, again, of the medical conditions around the country, she's unable to seek that treatment at this time. And we also pray as well for all of the churches that are struggling through these difficult days, for our nation, for its leaders, for doctors and healthcare workers, first responders, as they deal with these events as well. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, a large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Then the crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? "Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they did still not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's the week of Passover. Jerusalem isn't under a shelter-in-place order, so visitors and tourists from all around the Mediterranean basin are in town, and they're not social distancing while seeing the sights in the holy city. Some of the Greek tourists visiting Jerusalem come to the disciple Philip. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," they said. You're probably saying the same thing. "We wish to see Jesus. It's been 3 weeks since we were able to gather together before the altar at Grace and see Jesus there. 3 weeks of wilderness wandering and exile, in a sense. Half of the time that Jesus spent wandering in the wilderness after his baptism, for what it's worth. 3 weeks down, and who knows how many more to go. It'll feel like it's been 70 years of exile in Babylon before this pandemic is done, yet you and I still wish to see Jesus. To wave your palms and process into the church and gather around his presence in word and sacrament. Yes, in many ways we are like those Greeks, the Gentiles, who came to Philip and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, think of all of the things you would usually be doing this week if this were a normal Holy Week. Wondering whether or not there was enough candy, if the eggs were going to be stuffed on time, if everything was in place for our Easter breakfast, and if you needed 2 or 3 blankets for the sunrise service, if your Easter dinner was squared away. All of those things are off the table now, aren't they? So, how can you see Jesus now? Has this most holy of weeks been taken from you? Have you been robbed of the Lord's good gifts? Depends who you ask, right? Certainly, it would be better by far to be in our familiar church setting, in your assigned pew with friendly faces all around you. Yet, the church never demands from the Lord, but instead gladly receives what he has to give. And sometimes what he gives isn't the optimal situation. Sometimes what he gives conflicts with the church calendar, and you can't do what you plan to do when you plan to do it. This doesn't mean that Almighty God isn't faithful or loving. It means we live in a broken world where sin and death and the devil work overtime to keep you from seeing Jesus. Because that's what we would do this week. Gather together to see Jesus, to see him ride into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, loud Hosannas, to peek into that upper room as he spoke for the first time those most holy and comforting words, "This is my body, this is my blood," to feel again that deep gut punch as Jesus spoke his last words from bloody lips on rocky Golgotha, "It is finished." To gather Saturday night to kindle the first hopeful flames of the resurrection at the vigil, and then to shout aloud and in full throat our alleluias with choirs and instruments and packed pews with the echoes of "He is risen" bouncing from the walls. But there's something poetic about our stripped down and minimal services over the next 8 days and beyond. Like in those first years after Jesus entered Jerusalem on that donkey, our services right now aren't very glamorous. They aren't glorious and fancy. We've dialed it all the way back to just what's essential. And that's okay, because maybe, just maybe, you'll still be able to see Jesus. And maybe you'll be able to see him more clearly than before. Because without Jesus, without the spotless Lamb of God who was slain for your sin, you'd have no reason to want to gather together in church when that day does come. Did you happen to catch Jesus' answer to Philip when he asked about bringing the Greeks to him? "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." No, yes, let them come, or no, don't let them come, but rather, "The hour has come." How are they to see Jesus? He says, "For this purpose, I've come to this hour, for this purpose, for this cross, for this grain of his body to fall into the earth dead, to blossom and to bear much fruit." And what fruit is to be born of his death and resurrection? Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." You are the fruit of this week. You are the fruit of the entire life of Jesus. His birth in lowly Bethlehem, his life in Nazareth and Capernaum, his signs all across Galilee and Samaria and Judea, and his suffering, death, and resurrection outside Jerusalem. But you're still uneasy. And you've heard it all before. You know all of this. But you aren't comfortable sitting there at home, just like I'm not comfortable standing here in the parsonage. Because this isn't how we best see Jesus, is it? Or is it? How can you see Jesus in lockdown? In his word given for you. In your reading of his word in your devotions. In loving your neighbor and being loved by your neighbors. We may not be together in body, but we are all together the body of Christ. The phone calls, the notes and the cards, the prayers for each other, all of these are the work of the Lord in you and for you by those washed in the blood of the Lamb who was slain for you. So you see the Jesus who rode into Jerusalem on a lowly beast of burden that he might take up the throne of his cross in these online services where your pastor speaks the gospel to you. And you see Jesus in the remembrance of your baptism, that moment in which Jesus himself came to you to paint his holy cross on your forehead and upon your heart and mark you as one redeemed by his holy blood to life everlasting. A life that you could never earn on your own, life you could never work your way into, life that is given as a gift, a gracious and a free gift from a loving God and Father. That's why Jesus rode into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday so long ago. For the hour had come to gather all of your fears and your worries, all of your sicknesses and your pains, all of your sin and unworthiness, all of your rebellions and rejections into himself. So that in his being lifted up upon his cross to die for you, everything that had gone wrong with this world would be answered for. So that in his sacrifice for you, that you would be free from any worry this world might cause, because you are now safe and secure in him. You see Jesus now because he holds you in his arms, his beloved sheep that he leads beside still waters and into green pastures where he never abandons nor forsakes you, even when the wolves of this world threaten. One day, we will put all of these strange circumstances behind us and gather together again before Christ's holy altar. Until then, rest secure in the knowledge that because he was lifted up, because he did fall into the ground dead, because he rose again, glorified and triumphant, your Lord Christ is always with you. Even in these peculiar times, your Savior, your Lord, your King, who lives and reigns to all eternity, is with you always. In the name of Jesus, amen.